WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm Chuck Sievertson. More than 100 million Americans are sweltering under persistent heat alerts.
In El Paso, Texas, they've been over 100 degrees every day for 34 days. That's over a month. And same with Miami, the heat index. It felt like over 100 degrees for 40 days straight.
ABC News forecaster Melissa Griffin. Search and rescue crews are braving the triple-digit heat in California's San Gabriel Mountains, searching for a hiker who's been missing for nearly a week. The Biden administration putting the pressure on Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville, who is holding up military promotions until the Pentagon changes its abortion policy.
You've seen the consequences already to our military without a Marine commandant for the first time in 100 years. The ripple effects to hundreds of military families across the system already.
White House spokesperson Olivia Dalton. Dozens of protesters have taken to the streets of Haiti's capital demanding the resignation of Prime Minister Ariel Henry and protesting fuel prices. This is ABC News. Police in Portsmouth, New Hampshire say they've solved a four-decade cold case with the help of genetic genealogy. The body of a 23-year-old, Laura Kempton, was discovered in her apartment in 1981. Police say last year they reanalyzed DNA samples using forensic genetic genealogy and today identified Ronnie Lee as her attacker. He died in 2005. The winning $1 billion Powerball ticket was sold in Los Angeles.
The winning ticket was sold at Las Palmitas Mini Market. The store's owner says he was surprised when his store began getting massive attention.
Now I know. Somebody win the ticket, but I don't know who.
He'll get $1 million for selling the ticket. The lottery's Lucinda Garcia says it will likely be a while till we know who won.
A couple of weeks. It could be a couple of months. Hopefully it's soon.
That winning ticket was announced last night. People are now visiting the store to see where the big win went down. Blake Trolley, ABC News, Los Angeles.
And on Wall Street, the major indexes closed mixed. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk and text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time?
He needs to hear from us. He needs to know.
It's 844-96-PARTY. What is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful.
Wow.
I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know what you're going to give bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening to Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Need a ticket to enjoy the great atmosphere of Maggie's.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, you know, Haley, I hate to make you the odd person out, but this is going to be the Roberts show. We have Robert Lilligren on, and we also have Bob Blake from Red Lake, which I always love to say on a little later in the show, Robert Blake. And but I guess you're not going to be too much outnumbered, because what I'd like to do is we have an update from the governor of the great state of Wisconsin. And why don't we take a quick listen from Governor Evers to start it out.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Every Wisconsinite deserves access to clean, safe water, free of lead, PFAS, and other contaminants that have long been known to harm our kids, families, farmers, communities, and industries across our state. From declaring 2019 the year of clean drinking water and creating the state's PFAS Action Council, to filing a lawsuit against more than a dozen companies who contributed to PFAS contamination, my administration has been working to address water quality issues since day one, and I'm proud of the progress we've made. I've also spent 4 years trying to get most of the Republican legislature to believe PFAS are a pressing threat to our state's economy, our health and well-being, and our way of life. And unfortunately, the work we must do to address PFAS and other contaminants grows harder and more expensive with each day of delay. So earlier this month, I was proud to sign a budget that included the first real and substantive Republican effort to address PFAS after years of inaction, with a $125 million investment to address and prevent PFAS contamination statewide. This budget also builds on our work to ensure Wisconsinites have access to clean water by providing $1 million to help private well owners clean up or replace contaminated wells, $4 million for the Urban Nonpoint and Municipal Flood Control Program, and $6.5 million for grants under the Targeted Runoff Management Program. At the end of the day, we have to make sure that every Wisconsinite has access to clean, safe water, no matter whether it's for drinking in our homes and schools, for our crops or livestock, or our natural waters for hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation. And I know that together, we will. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio. Hey there.
Hey, thanks, Governor Evers. Really appreciate that. And we welcome Robert Lilligren, a Native American Community Development Institute, our normal Thursday person. And Robert, I just got to say a big peenigigi. Thank you for stepping in and hosting the rest of the show. You did an awesome job as I was listening to it on my way to my appointment. So Brown Institute, big applause for you.
Thanks, Robert. And miigwech to Haley for all of her technical support and really to the guest, Angela Two Stars, the artist and all my relations arts director. She is just so interesting. I could talk to her all night long.
Yeah, she did an awesome job. You're absolutely right. Hey, before we get going with our conversation that we both spent hours looking up things to...
decades preparing for this conversation.
Right. I just want to let everybody know it's a really interesting thing about what PFAS is, what the governor talked about, and it's used to make household and commercial products that resist heat and chemical reaction and repel oil, stains, grease, and water. These are like major chemicals that are found in the water, and I've heard more and more about that, Robert. I don't know if you have, but it's real interesting that the governor's talking about that and fighting that in Wisconsin.
I agree. It's just it's interesting, you know, more and more of these chemicals that that we're using, the forever chemicals, and
right.
We need to figure out how to remediate them, right? And so it was encouraging to hear Governor Evers talk about the legislation he signed. And if I heard him correctly, it's the first PFAS program in Wisconsin. So it seems kind of surprising that it would be the first this kind of late in the game, but there can't be a second or a third or a fourth until there's a first. So good news.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, our struggles with our relatives in Wisconsin, I think, have slowed things down. And we've had some Republican governors over there in the past, and we won't get into that right now. But we're just glad that, first, Governor Evers is there, and second, that he's sending us updates.
Agree. I think that's really a very considerate thing for him to do, and shows that he's really trying to reach out to a lot of communities that he represents. I give him credit for that.
Yeah, definitely. Really a nice guy. And Arvina talks about him, Arvina is, she, matter of fact, guest host last week. She was first Madison Native American city council person. And she calls him our Mr. Rogers.
I'm sure out of affection. I'm sure
it's an affectionate. Yeah, definitely in a good way, for sure. And I've gotten that mellow vibe, and I do believe he's a former teacher too. So there's a lot of good things there. Well, hey, I saw you today. What a beautiful day
to
be on the avenue. And our Ho-Chunk, a relative there helping you run that Destiny, is just doing a bang up job this year. And I speak of the Four Sisters Market.
Yeah, our Four Sisters Farmers Market, every Thursday, 11 to 3, right on Franklin and 15th, in our building where Powell Grounds Coffee Shop is, our All My Relations Arts Gallery, our offices, and it is just a happening place. We had a Native brother spinning discs, and he has this niche collection of Native people in recording studios from maybe the 60s, 70s, 80s to today. And so some really interesting vintage stuff that he was spinning, and it's just a place to sort of see and be seen
right
in the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
And
I'm sad to have missed that today. I wasn't able to make it out there. I know I had to take care of the grass was getting pretty crazy today. So,
and it just grows and grows every week. It's just, it's
we got rain last night though, which was good. Did you guys get rain over there in St. Paul?
A sprinkle in Minneapolis. A sprinkle.
Oh, yeah.
Two flashes of lightning and a sprinkle of rain.
It got scared. And he's literally was spinning albums, the old school. And I went up and talked to him because I have some collector albums of tribes that people have sent me over. But he was speaking upon just his own tribe he was collecting, which I thought was interesting, too.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Nice.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either because I was like, hey, I got this. But he was like, he didn't care. He wanted one of those Lakota singers to be playing out there, but it was cool, very cool, nice background. It was a nice volume too, you know, you could still talk and hang out, and it's just it's a great place to really connect. And I ran into not only his Destiny, but there was two other Ho-Chunks that I ran into, Wendy Holgamo, probably shouldn't say her last name, but Wendy. And
I didn't even see Wendy there. I didn't even see her. I must have missed her.
Yeah, she was there for some chow. She was getting for her and her dad, but I had an opportunity to talk to her, having a good little conversation, and then a couple other Ho-Chunks. But it's great. We can talk a little bit more about that, Robert, and maybe some updates. We got two more segments with you, so we'll talk a little slower if we don't have enough content.
Oh, that sounds good.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Even though the public COVID-19 emergency might be over, it's still important to stay up to date on vaccinations. And if you're like most people, you probably need a refresher on who should get vaccinated and when. So here's the bottom line. If you're 6 years or older, aim for that one updated COVID-19 vaccine. It doesn't matter if you've had a previous vaccine or not. You're still in the game. Now, if you're 65 or older, you've got the green light for one extra dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Just wait 4 months after your first updated dose, and you're good to go. And for the little ones, children between 6 months and 5 years may need multiple doses, including at least one of the updated vaccines, based on their age and previous doses. Remember, always stay informed and reach out to healthcare professionals for personalized guidance. Didn't catch all of that? You can find all of the updated COVID vaccine information at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, White Earth Ojibwe citizen, and all-around groovy dude. We're here having our own little conversation. It was fun. We were trying to explain people that we've been doing this, you and I, for a while on Native Roots Radio. And when we were a two-hour show on Saturdays, we used to have to set aside an hour for our 10-minute segment because we just were talking and having a good time and talking about, well, you know, I think we were talking a lot about how well we see the future and the young ones coming up behind us, and the future looking bright. It was a lot of the times our conversation.
Agree. And now we kind of bring that conversation onto the air, right? We used to do all this backgrounding and fact checking for our 10-minute pre-recorded segment. Now that we're live, we're just going to throw caution to the wind and just put it all out there. Very authentic conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And so I always like to pull what Wendy always says, and I bring this up too with Dr. Stately when he's on. Ask Robert what he wants to talk about is what Wendy will send me a note across the table here. And so what I'm going to do, Robert, is going to, you know, ask a little bit of what you want to talk about. And I know I was feeling really bad that I missed the opening exhibit.
Yeah, so one of the things my organization does on the American Indian Culture Corridor is we operate All My Relations Arts Gallery, and it's a bigger program too, but our gallery is this small but mighty space. It's really launched careers of a lot of internationally famous Native artists, and we had a new exhibition open, and Angela Two Stars, who's the director of All My Relations Arts, and I talked about this a bit last week. But it's this great new exhibition by a Native artist, Laura Young Bird, from Grand Portage. And it's called, in English, My Heart Hurts. In Ojibwe, it's Indo-Wisagandam, or something close to that. And it's just as powerful as can be. And Laura Young Bird, the artist, was down and did an artist talk. We had an opening reception last Friday. But if anyone's in the area, I would strongly encourage you to come on down. The show's up till September 9th. Mm-hmm. And All My Relations Arts right on East Franklin Avenue and 15th Street in South Minneapolis. And did you get a chance to look at the exhibit?
Yeah, I did. I was in there for a little bit, but you know, my ADHD was running wild because I was trying to get out of there real quickly. I had to drop off a couple things, and a half hour later, I got to leave. But
That happens around there. And Laura Youngbird uses a lot of imagery of the dress, you know, from reminiscent of photos of her grandmother, or her mother used to make their clothes and their dresses. And so dresses, and of course, red dresses evoke so much in the community about missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives. And so it's powerful, and it was great. I love going to the artist talks and hearing the artist talk about their inspirations.
Yeah, you know, I have to say this too, because I think there's a lot of fans out there. During the Four Sisters Market, there's almost every week there is a famous author that's there. And really a big seller. And we've had her on the show in the past.
Marcy Rendon, yeah.
Yeah, so if you ever want to get an autographed copy, and I was just thinking about that, Robert, if you ever want to get an autographed copy or buy one of her books, she is there.
Almost every week. Her daughter Simone Rendon is one of our vendors, and sells her own line of food. And I'm actually looking at Marcy Rendon's book right here because I have it teed up to read next. Murder on the Red River. That's gonna be my next read. So and she's big time, right? Award winning, famous author.
And we had her daughter on too, and I know we were talking earlier a couple of weeks ago that one of the TV stations here had a real shoot. I mean, it was 5-6 minutes piece on her and her jellies and jams and how she makes those. And Haley, what was the thing that you liked? I can't remember.
She forages these like pine cones, and then she makes pine cone cookies, and they're amazing. I didn't know that you could eat pine cones, but it's a thing, and they're delicious.
When they were on television, so Destiny, our market manager, Ho-Chunk's sister Simone, and I don't think the hosts really liked the pine cone cookies. They tried them, but I think it was a little too indigenous for them. But yeah, it was a huge segment. It promoted Simone's work, the mm-hmm. First Sisters Farmers Market.
Yeah.
Our little market is, you know, draws a lot of attention.
Yeah, yeah, and it's exciting. And, you know, there's people, and again, people driving by and honking, and it's like, who is that? And my next, you know, I can't see, but there's a lot of action happening there. And, you know, I just have to say this too, Robert, that avenue has changed so much and turned into the Native corridor in a really, really good way, because we're old enough to remember all the bars and all the things, yeah, and the riffraff, and it's a good vibe during the day there.
It's a great vibe, and it's really the community expressing itself. It's one of the few areas in the country, really, where you have a geography that is so strongly identified with the Native community. And, you know, it feels Native, the build architecture, the street furniture, and then the activation of it, right? The murals, the markets, the events, and we have a couple of really important pieces of architecture coming online next year. Next May, our American Indian Center, Minneapolis American Indian Center, will open there. Newly renovated and expanded building. It's beautiful. And the Native American Community Clinic just up the block has started on their new building, which will combine community services and housing.
Yeah. We had Dr. Stately on yesterday, and the crazy things that are happening there, and all the work that the Native American Community Clinic does is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard, and I think you probably maybe run into this too with NACD, is that it's hard to not be everything to everyone, but it's also a detriment too, because you can't focus in, and you know what I mean? I think the clinic has that problem, and there's so much to be done.
Right. There's so much need in the community, right? And we have a rich community of nonprofits and clinics that offer services to the Native community. I mean, it's wonderful to see. And Native American Community Clinic and Dr. Anthony Stately and their work is a great example of that. We have Indian Health Board and Urban Indian Health Urban Clinic. We have just from where we were standing today at Four Sisters Farmers Market, within maybe six blocks, there's 40 or 50 Native serving organizations, tribes, educational institutions, and right there in this very definable part of South Minneapolis. And that's where we get the attraction for the American Indian Cultural Corridor, right? A destination in South Minneapolis. And it's feeling good. It's feeling good. And, you know, we still have our troubles. I noticed just about a block from our offices, and could see a group of our unsheltered relatives mobilizing and establishing a new encampment there. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're always kind of moving around, and, you know, they're part of our community too, right? Absolutely. And we work to figure out how to best support and serve our relatives living without shelter.
Yeah, I mean, what a great point too. They are part of our community, and, you know, one of the things too that we see people that look like us all up and down the avenue, and also, you know, at the market and at the doctors, at the library. I mean, there's just so much going on there, and in such a good way. But I want to keep you for another segment and a half if you have time. I do want you to talk about what you'd like to talk about, Robert, because I kind of tricked you there. I was asked you to talk about what you want to talk about, and then I went into a question. So I want you to be able to speak your truth.
All right. It sounds good.
Well, we still have a minute left. Well,
okay. I thought you were transitioning us out. So
that would have been a good transition.
To your last point, you know, after I left my office today, then I went a block or maybe two to a tribally owned pharmacy, Meskiki Wakaigan Medicine House. And they, it's this great model where, as a tribal citizen or a Native person, I don't have to pay. You know, I use my insurance, and then they have a model that's not profit driven, right? And so people like me are subsidizing other people, but no Native person, only Native people are patients there, and no Native people pay anything. Yeah. There's no copays or anything. And then from there, I had to stop and get some cash at a Native-owned bank, Woodlands National, just up the block on the American Indian Culture Corridor. I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
This is so cool. I have this, you know, right here, right in my immediate environment.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that. I was going to mention the bank too, but hey, we're going to hang out a little bit more with Robert Lilligren, and then up next, Robert Blake after that. So, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported...
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Protesters in Iraq storming the Swedish embassy, overrunning the compound and starting a fire after an Iraqi man in Sweden threatened to burn a copy of the Quran. U.S. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller asked if U.S. officials are concerned about protests spreading to the U.S. embassy in the Iraqi capital.
Our embassy is located in a different area than the Swedish embassy. In terms of any potential threats to our embassy, we've seen no reason to change the posture at our embassy now, but of course we always monitor the situation on the ground.
Iraq's prime minister swiftly cut off diplomatic ties with Sweden amid the protests. The Senate Judiciary Committee has voted to advance legislation that would set ethics rules for the Supreme Court and a process to enforce them. The legislation would include new standards around recusals, gifts, and potential conflicts of interest. Police in Las Vegas seizing laptops and a memoir from the Vegas area home of the only surviving witness to Tupac Shakur's 1996 murder. This is ABC News.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 a.m. and 97.9 WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time, apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games. 292 tackles. 7 sacks. And a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGB. And on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and we're wrapping it up with a little bit here with Robert. And Robert, again, what would you like to talk about?
Why don't you tell me, Robert? You're so good at it. Yeah,
it's a good one.
What I want to talk about. I mean, we could talk about anything. We haven't touched on any national kind of topics, but there's right. the pending criminal charges toward Trump. There's the 16 fake electors from Michigan that are now getting criminally charged. And this is all very interesting. So I'm happy to go in that direction or continue yeah. to talk about local stuff. But there's one kind of national thing, you know, or a national data point that I haven't really seen a lot in the media. And I just wanted to lift that up. And, you know, folks know, or you know, I'm still part of government. I'm a representative on our regional government, the Metropolitan Council. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're just now preparing to start doing our 2050 comprehensive plans throughout this region. And we're in this era where things like COVID and the whole pandemic response has left us really uncertain about what the future is going to be like. And of course, then George Floyd's murder here just changed everything, or sort of turbocharged everything. So we're just in this kind of confusing place where we can't really look to the past to gauge what the future will be in development in the region or transit use. You know, we run the transit mm-hmm. system, wastewater use. It's a time of uncertainty. Yeah. So one of the things that a lot of folks did during the pandemic and the stay-at-home period was just kind of predict the doom of central cities. You know, no one's going to go back to work, right. and you're not going to need any transit, and cities are just going to die. And we're just seeing different things, different kinds of things happen within cities and in workplaces. Right. And one of the data points that I think is really, really interesting is women in the workforce. And of course, women left the workforce at much higher rates because suddenly they had to fall into these roles of caregivers and educators, and they left the workplace, and there was a lot of progress lost. Like, I think it was like 50 years of advancement of women in the workplace. And now what's happening is that women have not only returned to the workplace, they've returned to the workplace in a strong way where women's participation in the workplace is higher than it was before COVID. And that's just a fact.
Yeah.
You know, and so there was all this concern that, oh, women will never make up the lost ground from the COVID era. Well, women have more than made it up. And another tidbit or another little fact is that the gender pay gap is now the narrowest ever.
Wow.
The narrowest on record. And it's still not closed. A woman earns now 85 cents for a dollar a man earns, but that's up. It's the smallest pay gap in our history. And I just think that's interesting. And so, you know, we have these crises and these catastrophes like a pandemic. And then all of a sudden, we're seeing kind of progress made as we recover.
Right. Well, you know, the word crisis comes from the Chinese symbol that is merged, a dangerous win and opportunity. Every crisis is a dangerous opportunity, as we both know.
Yep. And so I guess it maybe is dangerous to the status quo. And that's just fine with me.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, these things, you know, our economy is doing well, or, mm-hmm. you know, unemployment is down. There's these positive things going on, and they just never really reverberate through a lot of the media. And that was just one that's really caught my attention this week.
Well, Robert, I have Robert in the bullpen here, and I want to really thank you for for all the work you do. And it's always good to see you, and it's always really good to see you here on Native Roots Radio, because we have fun and it's also very informative for our listeners what's going around here in the Twin Cities and Indian Country and our perspective on the news.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here. See you, Haley.
We'll see you soon, Robert. Hey, speaking, we have Bob Blake from Red Lake. Good to see you, Robert, with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. How's it going, my man? I see your lips are moving, but I don't hear anything. This is, where's my mute? Where's my?
There you go. That I had my mute button on. Sorry,
see my about coffee that. Cup there.
Yep. You're on mute. Yep, I got that. Hey everyone, the Solar Bear with the Solar News here. Hey Robert, the hottest day ever has been recorded out in Death Valley, California.
Yes.
And it was at 134 degrees. And I think this is interesting because this relates to a lot of what you and Robert Lilligan were talking about, and about cities, and you know how you know there was that interesting mention about people are moving away from cities, or they're moving back in. You know, there's this demographic change. Well, right. You know, I think, you know, with climate change, it's going to really affect a lot of different, you know, aspects of city life, because, you know, if you just recently saw the news, out in, I believe it was Phoenix, Arizona, an overnight temperature, Robert, was 95 degrees. Ugh. I mean, how does the human body cool down, you know, from the day, right? And so, you know, I think these are some really interesting conversations, because, you know, we have to start considering, you know, how do we best address this, especially in cities. And one of the things that Robert, I ran for city council, and one of the that what I was advocating for was, you know, glow in the dark bike lanes around the city, because I think that's going to make our communities more safer, because it's going to get more people out using bikes. And trust me, kids are just going to love riding glow in the dark bike lanes. You know, that's just one thing. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I think in a lot of these abandoned lots where we have, you know, properties that are up for sale and they're not for sale, or, you know, whatever, abandoned properties too. But in these green spaces, we really talk about maybe putting in city gardens and bringing communities together through food, through growing gardens, through, you know, breaking bread with one another. And what happens is that these gardens end up becoming, you know, carbon sinks, so to speak. And they become air conditioners for the city themselves, because it's going to keep these areas cool at night. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So Nina's actually, this is right. And so that's really what a lot of, you know, those kinds of gardens can do. And I think those are great ways to bring community together, make it safer. Also a great way to get to know your neighbor, but also, you know, because of all the concrete that we have in the city, and that traps the heat, that I think we're going to have to really start thinking outside the box, you know, as cities, and looking at this as potential ways of fighting the extreme effects of heat that are going to be affecting our cities in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm. It's always warmer in the cities, Robert, anyways. Whether it's the buildings are keeping the heat in, but now it's really getting horrific. And also what Nina said, that it was crazy when the desert can't cool off at night. And that's a unbelievable statement, but so true.
Yeah, and I think that those are really issues that, because, you know, and I always tell people, or I always, you know, go back to when those individuals were in Chicago and they died in their apartments. And it was literally because they cooked to death. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because of the heat from the outside and the apartments, and that the heat wave just, you know, and of course they wanted to keep their windows closed because they're afraid of somebody breaking in and, you know, causing them harm. But they also wanted to try and keep what little cold air they had. So it, you know, but those are some of the things that I think that we really have to seriously think about. as we have these extreme heat waves, they're going to become more and more prevalent and, you know, a bigger piece of our everyday life going forward.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, remember this last winter here in Minnesota, we had the third largest snowfall in recorded history. And then we had flooding, and then we haven't had hardly any rain to speak of since then. So the rivers and lakes are low. And so it kind of lulls us into sleep going, oh, look at all this moisture here in snow. But you have to keep it going. And May flowers, you know, April showers bring May flowers. And we haven't had a spring in so, so long here in Minnesota. It just either jumps right to summer, where we had over 90 degree weather, you know, in early April, May.
Yeah, absolutely, Robert. And so, you know, the jet stream is obviously, you know, not, you know, I would say normal into what we would usually think it is. And that's because of climate change, man-made climate change. And so that jet stream is knocked off. And so it's bringing down colder air a lot sooner than we expected. It's our winters are starting later. There's more moisture that is being picked up from the West Coast. It's being dropped into the East Coast now. So imagine big lakes up in the atmosphere that are coming down on the East Coast. And that's why you have all this flooding right now. Mm-hmm. And you have all this dry weather, all these fires that are going to be happening here on the East, on the Western side, because it's picking up all the moisture and dropping it down on the Eastern side of the United States. So these are all situations that we're going to have to get our heads wrapped around. And it's obviously something that I think is going to be a part of what you and Robert were just recently talking about, and it's going to affect that too.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Robert, we got to take a quick break here, and then we'll talk more Solar Bear with the Solar News, and maybe rename the show Robert's Native Roots Radio. Ho-wah. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, along with Robert Blake and earlier Robert Lilligren. Sorry, Haley. We'll change your name to Robert here.
Roberta.
There you go. Ho-wah. We'll be right back after this short break. Please.
Stay with us.
Hey.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Your neighbors are talking about the Blue Line Extension, connecting North Minneapolis, Crystal, Robbinsdale, and Brooklyn Park to the light rail transit system.
I feel like a lot of times people, when they think about transit, it's like, well, it's a bus, it's a train, it's whatever. But it really isn't. It's a lifeline for many communities, and it feels like something that we really need here.
Hear more of this story and others at yourblueline.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl.
Hey, we had a half-muted Bob Blake wolf howling. That was good. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I'm here with Robert Blake and Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're talking about some real stuff, real issues here. And sometimes, Robert, it's hard to hear, or hard to listen to, because it's so real and in our face, you know, and you can't deny it, even though there may be a portion of our society that wants to deny it. I mean, I would never thought that we would have fires in Canada would affect us here in Minnesota, but all over the United States too.
Well, you know, and I think that's what Native people have always known, right? Everything is connected. And you know, it really is, Robert. I don't even want to know all this. I mean, I scare myself knowing all this. It's almost discouraging sometimes, but like, you know that, you know, the opportunity is there for us to really change our future if we want to. And, you know, that movie, Don't Look Up, with Leonardo DiCaprio and, you know, all that star-studded cast, that was such a great play on, like, the climate change issue.
Right.
Like, you know, it's obviously right there. We can see it. They could see the comet coming at the planet, but yet we still don't want to acknowledge that this is going to happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. We see the fires, we see the flooding, we see all the natural disasters, we see the tornadoes. I was out at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory a couple of weeks ago, and I had one of the meteorologists telling me, oh, we can't predict, we can't tell you if the tornadoes are more stronger, you know, scientifically because of climate change. And I got up and I said, don't tell these people that. Do not say that. That is wrong to say that. We can't tell that the tornadoes are more frequent and they are stronger because of climate change. Do not say that. Take that back. Right. This meteorologist did not take it back. But she did say, she goes, well, they are happening more frequently. We are seeing. Okay, give me that at least. Yeah. Don't tell me I'm a liar in front of all these people. But like, these are the individuals that are out there sitting there saying and telling people that everything's okay when they know that the science is telling them something different. As a matter of fact, Robert, this goes into the next story about the United States Army and how the Army is looking at climate change in the future. Yeah. And get this, Robert, the U.S. Army's climate strategy was announced last year, okay? Mm-hmm. And it included a pledge to add a microgrid in every one of its hundreds of installations by 2035. Every Army base across this country is now slated to get a microgrid. Now, when I tell you this, Robert, what does the Army know that the rest of society doesn't know if they're moving on this action now around, you know, climate change, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And what I'm saying,
Robert, is don't believe me. Look at what the United States Army is doing. Right. You know what I mean? Like, don't listen to the Solar Bear. Listen to the United States Army and look at what they're doing. They're telling you that this is a problem. We're preparing for it. And you should be too. You know what I mean? You should be thinking about this. We should be voting in climate champions. I'm on the board of directors for the Minnesota Solar Energy Industry Association, Robert. Mm-hmm. We had State Representative Jamie Long yesterday talk to us about all the wonderful legislation that was passed in the state of Minnesota. Yeah. And Minnesota is now, I mean, we're going to leapfrog every other state in the Midwest around climate change and around renewable energy issues with all of this positive, you know, legislation that came out from the state here. And it is exciting. It's going to be exciting. And I can't begin to tell you, Minnesota, all the great things that are going to be coming down the line and how we are going to be battling climate change and taking this, you know, head on.
And you'll be reporting on it. Hey, Robert, what was the name of that movie again that Leo was in again?
Oh, Don't Look Up. Don't Look Up.
One of the most significant things in that movie, too, was that Leo was dating somebody his own age or was married to someone that was roughly his own age in there. I would just throw some humor in there real quick. Oh,
yeah, he's been known to date the models, actually.
But the actor that was playing his opposite, his wife, was his age. So it was like, good on you, Leo. One in a row.
Well, I'm sure he's got like a billion-dollar bank account. I mean, makes him very attractive.
Just joking about him because he'll be starring in that next movie coming up with his buddy Marty Scorsese. That's coming up real soon. Flowers of the Moon.
Flowers of the Killer Moon. Robert, I'm glad you brought that up too because you know I would really because you know this goes out to tribal country. And I really want, you know, tribes to understand, you know, when you look at that situation that happened with the Osage in this movie, Flowers of the Killer Moon, you know, we see another opportunity that's happening here in tribal country right now around hydrogen projects, renewable energy projects, you know, energy projects that are going to bring a lot of wealth to Native country. And just like the oil brought a lot of wealth to the Osage in there, you know, there was a lot of greed. And there was a lot of, you know, backhanded dealings and everything like that. And so I just want tribal country to be well aware of the cautionary tale that is from this movie. I think it's a very, I think the movie right now coming out is at a very significant time in tribal country with all the money coming into tribal country, flooding in to do renewable energy and energy development and how we as Native people, let's not like lose our values. You know, let's keep this, you know, let's understand that a lot of these people are experts in their field. Let's listen to them. Let's, you know, let's take their advice. Let's use what we can from them, but let's not like, you know, like our values, let's keep our value system in doing all this because I think Robert, that there is just going to be from my viewpoint, a lot of energy development in tribal country and a lot of dollars being passed around. And I just don't want, you know, I just don't want Native people to get hurt is really what I don't want to happen.
Well, absolutely. And I think even with the monies that was coming out earlier on broadband and things like that, a lot of Native communities learn the hard way to read the fine print, so to speak, because there's companies out there that know that there's money coming in Indian country and they might want to take an advantage of that. And so to have somebody like you with the energy as a consultant and the people that you work with to work with the community, and do you become your own energy company, or how do you partner in a good way with existing energy companies, and when do the batteries come in and when do you use them and when do you sell back, and all those things that your experience has really brought you to this point today, that we all need to reach out to the experts when we're dealing with all this money coming into Indian country, so to speak.
Yeah, the devil's in the details. You know, that's the old saying, the devil is in the details. And like you said, Robert, reading that fine print, because there's a lot of individuals that are going to take advantage or try to take advantage of our people, and I just want them to be conscientious of that. And so that's why I say this movie with the Flowers of the Killer Moon, wow, what a really kind of significant time does this thing come out and be a cautionary tale to Native country.
Exactly. Exactly. Robert, really a good talking to you. I'm glad you were able to come on today and complete the trifecta of Roberts. But it's always good to see you, and I can't wait to reach out to you here in the next few days about what's happening and, you know, in our nation and things that are happening and in a good way, and the things that you're doing just to amplifies how much you are helping other nations across the country. And so I appreciate our little time together once a week or once every other week, because you are the man, you are a doer. So Pini Gigi.
Thank you, Miigwech, Robert. And thank you for having me, everyone. That's the Solar News with the Solar Bear.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio. We're still here. We are the...
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
ABC.